Christians. Bless the Lord. All right. As we were saying, now we are going to look on God's Word, Ephesians 2 from 1 to 10, which was read by our sister Henry. And we would like to concentrate on a few thoughts there under the topic, the richness of God's mercy. That's what we'd like to look on tonight. The richness of God's mercy. And that comes to us primarily from verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4. That reads like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loves us. And we will see where this takes us. God, who is rich in mercy, the richness of God's mercy. The Bible tells us that God is love. His entire being is enveloped in love. God's entire nature is love. And it's the very same way when we look on his mercy. God's entire nature is enveloped in mercy. It is not something that he puts on and take off. It is his nature. He works with this era of his nature. God is rich in mercy because it is coming from out of his bowel. It is coming from out of his inside. It is his makeup. Mercy is God's makeup. He is rich in mercy. When we think about the richness of God's mercy, we realize that we are benefited from it in an outstanding type of way that we probably not even realize how much God's mercy has reached us. He's rich in mercy. And what do we mean by mercy? It is an act of withholding punishment. It's an act of withholding punishment. Punishment that you and I deserve because of our act, our violation of God's law. Punishment that we deserve. God, in his richness of mercy, withhold punishment from reaching us. And not only you and me, this is also include the unsaved as well. When they violate God's law deliberately and even unconsciously too, God did not mete out judgment immediately. But God's mercy allows him to hold back his hands from punishing the offender. So that the offender will live to see another day. It is the richness of God's mercy. Who knows sin has passed him without his notice. He expresses mercy. He overlooks our errors. He overlooks our fault. The common saying goes like this. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. The richness of God's mercy we are inheriting tonight as believers and non-believers alike. The mercies of God. I would like to remind all of us here, but especially my unsaved friends, that no matter how much you sin, no matter how much you have sinned, you cannot sin enough. You cannot sin enough where God's mercy cannot reach you.
Amen.
The word tells us where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Grace goes beyond where you are able to sin. You cannot sin far enough. You cannot complete enough sin where grace cannot find you and grace rescue you. Because what? Of the mercies of God. Mercy is a gift that is given on your behalf and on my behalf. It is a gift from God. We cannot earn it. Mercy cannot be earned. Mercy can only be given. That's why we need to recognize God for who He is. He is indeed a God of mercy, reaching out to the uttermost, reaching out to save those who will accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. God's word tells us, when we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. That is mercy. That is His mercy spelling out before us, expressing His very nature to us. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my wounded soul found liberty. It was a Calvary. Calvary is a manifestation of God's mercy towards us. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Mercy! The richness of God's mercy. You are listening tonight, and you have never bowed your knees to the Lord. Or maybe you did, but you're not walking with the Lord anymore. God's mercy is still there, pleading for you. You know, I like what Titus tells us. Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. Listen to what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For the grace of God that bringeth, God has commissioned, God has given grace the responsibility to go and look for every man, and that is motivated by His mercy. Grace and mercy walk together in the economy of God. They are twin brothers. There is not one without the other. And God said to grace, go and visit every man and carry a gift. Carry a gift in your hands to offer to everyone. Mercy is propelling grace. Mercy is driving grace. And mercy is telling grace where you live. Mercy is telling grace where you are. And mercy and grace are working together as they carry out the commandment of Almighty God to visit everyone. You might be in your living room. Mercy and grace are right there with you. You might be in your car. Mercy and grace are right there with you. You might be at the workplace. Mercy and grace, God has commissioned them to find you, to appear to you. God has given grace the responsibility to appear to everyone. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Look on that word here. It is taking something to you. Grace is bringing something to you. Because God has commissioned it to take something, a gift to you. And it comes out of what? The richness of God's mercy. What is it that grace is bringing? What is it that grace is bringing? For the grace of God I appear to all men, teaching them teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. To some people, there is a feeling that you cannot be a Christian in this time. To some people, it is when you are outside of this world that you will be a Christian. I want to tell you to the contrary, the Bible is saying right now you can be a believer in Christ. Right now you can live holy. Right now you can live godly. Right now you can live righteously. The Bible said in this present world. What is responsible for it? The richness of God's mercy that bringeth salvation to you. That bringeth salvation. It is not coming empty-handed. It is bringing salvation enveloped in a beautiful package. And tonight, I trust that you will receive the gift of God that grace and mercy is bringing. You will receive the gift of God that He arranged, that grace and mercy will take to you regardless of where you are. Because God is rich. He's rich. He's rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you might be saying, I have been engaged in so much things that I don't believe that the Lord will ever show me mercy or forgive me. I want to say to you tonight, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you are thinking. I don't know what you are thinking. The Lord might just have this word to come to you. At this moment, you are on the verge of giving up. You are on the verge of saying you don't think society needs you anymore. I am saying to you tonight, just remember the richness of God's mercy. You cannot seem enough where God's mercy can't reach you and forgive you. But God, and to say but God here means something, because the apostle is coming off another set of statements why he was able to use the term but God. And listen to what he is coming off as we look on verse 3, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to what it says here. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, one, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, two, and of the mind, three, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Apostle Paul is reminding the church where God has taken them from. The Apostle Paul is reminding them that sometimes you need to look back to see where he has taken us from. The songwriter said, take me back, O Lord. Take me back to the place where you first found me. The songwriter said, I remember when my burden rolled away. I have carried them for years, night and day. Every now and then, we need to look back to see where the Lord has taken us from. Remember, he said, you in time past. But in verse 4, he said, but God, and it been for God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy. Where would we be? Where would we be tonight as children of God? Thank God tonight for God's mercy. Thank God tonight for the richness of his mercy. Because his mercy produced justification. His mercy produced justification. We can stand before God as if we have never sinned, because he, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible declares. Thank God for justification that comes through God's mercy. You know, vested in the government, in the governor's office, or the governor's chair. We have one in Florida. Every state has a governor. Vested in the president's chair. Is what is called the power of pardon. The governor in Florida, the governor in Georgia, the governor in Jersey, the governor in New York, the governor in any state, including the president of the United States, can use the flash of a pen and pardon any criminal in the prison. And that criminal would walk out of prison a free man or woman, because of the ability, because of the power that is vested in that chair that the president occupies or the governors occupy. Vested in the Constitution, that power is given to use the stroke of a pen to release a prisoner. And they call it pardon. I find out that even Turkey is being pardoned. Today, I was watching the news, and I see, I don't know if it's one or two, it could be two, Turkey is being pardoned. Symbolic of the power that is vested in the president chair to pardon any individual in the country that he sees like that is under supervision in prison. And the unbeliever, the person who does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, mercy, which is the very nature of God, gives God the right, based on his principles and laws, to introduce justification so that he can pardon any individual he wants and set that person free as if the person has never committed a sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 9:15, he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will have pardon or compassion on whom he will have compassion. God reserve the right to do it. And I'm saying to us tonight, we, you and I, are recipients of God's mercy. We have obtained mercy from God. Not we did anything right. It is not we who did anything right. We owe it all to him to overlook our sinful nature and introduce righteousness in us. Hallelujah. And you who are listening tonight and you have not come across to be a child of God as yet, I am saying to you, God is rich in mercy and he's reaching out to you and to tell you that grace is on its way. Grace is on its way to you. Because it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, declared the Bible, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You and I who receive this mercy, we are expected to show mercy to others. That is how important it is. Genesis chapter 5, I think verse 7, tells us about this very act. About this very thing. Tells us that we obtain mercy, that we should show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, declare the Lord in that particular passage. We who receive mercy from God need to show mercy. Therefore, I mean, if somebody hair against us in one way or the other, just as our God has forgiven us, we should forgive those persons. We should use the same principle that he exercised towards us to others. That is the fruit of a Christian life. And we need to follow the Master in his principle. And in his example. I want to say to all of us here tonight, church can be beautiful. Church can be a blessing. And it should be. And it is designed to be when God's people dwell together in love and holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The beauty of church the beauty of oneness, the beauty of the expression of grace and mercy among the believers, hallelujah, is so rich and fulfilling that it fills the appetite of the onlookers, because it presents something different from what is on the street. All came together because of what? The mercies of God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion, declares the Lord. And when you think that the salvation that we receive is something that we did not work for, based on verse 8. Listen to what verse 8 says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. For by grace, the same grace that bringeth salvation, hallelujah, the same grace that he has commissioned to visit you in your home, in your car, at your workplaces, or even in the street. That grace brought something as a result of God's mercy that you could not purchase, now me could not purchase. And God is telling us here in this same passage that, look, it is not you who work for it. It is me who gave it to you. It is a gift that you receive by faith. Hallelujah. 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 And that is not to say that you should not do good work, even if you are an unsaved person. But I want to tell you and remind you tonight that that is not going to get you over the finish line. What is going to get you over the finish line is you accepting God's gift that salvation has brought, freely, independent of anything you did, because it is a gift of God to you, based on the fact that he is rich in mercy. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God don't want hereafter somebody should come up to him and say, it is because of my input why I am saved and why I am here with him in heaven. God don't want that. He will not give his glory to another. Therefore, there is nothing you and I can do in order to earn, salvation. It is a pure gift comes to us from the throne room of God, and it is propelled by his mercy and by his grace. The unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God gave it to us anyway. Hallelujah. Because of his richness in mercy. And I like how long before the Apostle Paul, how the psalmist captured this image of the richness of God's mercy. I like how the psalmist in Psalms 136, it carries 36 verses. It carries 26 verses. And every single verse, the psalmist has to pause to remind us that the mercy of God endures forever. I think I have enough time to go through them. Psalms 136. Listen carefully. I try to get you as quick as I can. Hold your fence unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Now is the time of thanksgiving. The period, the season we are passing through is a time of thanksgiving. I believe we should pause and we should give God thanks for his goodness and for his mercies towards us over the many years that he has been blessing us. Listen to verse 4. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the water, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the star to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With strong hands and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divide the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led the people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remember us in our low estate. Hallelujah. For his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies. For his mercy endureth forever. Who give food to all flesh. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136, 26 verses. And at every verse, the psalmist dived down into the nature of God and said, look, his mercy is so vast that it endures forever. And tonight, that same mercy is here, extending to somebody. Extending to somebody. We are reminded by the psalmist that his mercy endureth forever. And that forever meaning beyond you and me here tonight. But God has stopped, and he is stretching out his arms, and he's saying to you, my mercy is extending towards you. I want you to be a child of mine. And it does not matter what sin you may have committed in the past. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pumping it in there. was multiplied to me. And there, my wounded son found liberty at Calvary. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I am just convinced in my spirit that somebody is listening to somebody's phone that need to hear this word. That no matter what it is that you did and you are contemplating taking out revenge on your own self because of your shortcoming, God is saying to you, my mercy is rich. And I'm prepared to forgive you. I'm prepared to change your life for the better. Reach out and touch me. Grace is coming, and grace is not coming empty-handed. Grace is bringing a gift from God to you. Accept God's gift tonight. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. We receive it freely because of the richness of God's mercy. Father, I bless your name tonight for the richness of your mercy. I thank you that that richness of mercy came in my direction one Sunday night. And while I didn't understand what was happening at the moment, I found myself at the altar sobbing, because something came upon me. My sins, I saw my sins higher than the mountain, and the Lord rescued me at that altar that night. This is the extended hand of God's mercy that reached out to me. And I thank you, Lord God, that you helped me to receive the gift of salvation that Sunday night. God, you have kept me over these years. And I want to give you the honor and the glory. Tonight, I believe you are reaching out to somebody. You are reaching out to somebody within the listening of these microphones. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will move upon that heart, that life, and change that person for the better, so that that person will become a child of yours, surrendering to you, despite the shortcomings in the past. I bless your name, and I thank you for the reality of the gospel that have the ability to change people's life. Have your way tonight, I pray, by your blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And amen.
Bless the Lord. I just